Welcome to week two of our Table Talks, and we're ready to get into another great conversation. We enjoyed last week talking about the divisiveness in our society and how we handle it. And so we got some great tidbits from Bishop here. And so today, Dad, I want to ask you about just some life lessons you've gotten from being a pastor. So, like, I think, you know, I certainly have not been pastoring as long as you have, but, you know, you have the opportunity to see people over a long period of time. You get a perspective on human nature. Across generations, people's life patterns. And so I want to get into some of the takeaways, things you've learned about yourself, things you learned about people, and just approaches to life. So, like, what would be the first thing that comes to mind as you think about just what you've learned from pastoring?
For me, as a pastor, as a person, that I still need to keep growing. That growing needs to be part of an ongoing embracing and a lifestyle to grow and see and tap into opportunities to grow, which requires change. Doesn't change from God, our belief in God and the Word and so forth. But areas where I may have had a perspective and to back off on that, you know, it's amazing how we all bring a perspective to life. And so as you get older, in my case, you see and you get a better understanding. You also realize where you may have bumped your head a bit and realize, it could have been done differently. So that has blessed me and helped me. Not that I've changed in every area of my life, but I made some changes in my life and it's paid off for me. So the fact that I was able to grow and that I was open to grow was a life lesson. Because I have friends, some of them are ministers, and that they have difficulty in their 60s or 70s or above, difficulty making changes. And they probably would, but it's like, it's hard. And so for the people in the congregation and Christians in general, what I've learned is that people are the same. We're creatures of habit. And so to help people grow and have a better life and enjoy more of the God kind of life, the Zoe God kind of life, develop new habits. And that is the biggest challenge because people, again, are creatures of habit. They don't want to change habits and start a new one, or they start and stop. And so what's helped me, not that I've arrived, but is understand patterns and approaches, systematic approaches. So I approach God and my life as just stick with what's working, okay? Develop some kind of reasonable pattern, a routine that incorporates God in prayer. Like, for example, during the pandemic, I think it was in maybe March or April, the Lord put in my heart to read Psalms 91 and pray over the entire congregation, entire family. And I mentioned as many as I know by name and by category. That's our elders and deacons and board members, our Zoe Association churches and pastors and businesses. I mentioned you and your family and all my kids and their children by name. I mentioned my relatives. I mentioned all that I know by name and by category, father-in-laws, mother-in-laws, all that. And I'm praying Psalm 91 by name. And so to me, it was a pattern that I was able to do because it made sense. It fit really well about divine protection and so forth. And God has honored that. And not as honored that in my life, but I see it honored in my family's life. And so, but that being willing to do that is even as important. So it's part of how I've grown to a level. If I need God and He wants me to do something more consistently, I'll do it. So I find that people are basically the same. They have needs for love. They want to be appreciated. You know, when I first started this church, I didn't really appreciate people like I should have. I feel like, you know, you're working for the Lord. You know, and my staff were talking about giving. So we finally had these appreciation for workers and stuff. And I just have a naive view of that. You know, why you need to have that? You're serving the Lord, right? But people need that. And they need to be affirmed and encouraged. And it's not a put down to do that for them. And it took me a while to kind of get that. And part of it, just be quite honest, people being mad at me and people just thinking, why you won't do that? And it's, you know, and I thought thinking about it more deeply. So the life lessons are real. And I'm just happy that I made some positive changes. I did a television interview with someone that used to go to our church. And so she had the show, and I was invited on, and I spoke, and she interviewed me. But and she mentioned that I made some changes, that's observing me. But then she had told her friend, and she said, Pastor Ed really made some changes. He's not the same person I knew. And it's not that I've arrived, but I've made some progress. And so I share that if we don't be purposeful to do that, to grow, and whatever, and lay aside any sin or weights. A lot of things aren't even a sin. It's just a weight. It holds us back from making progress. And so to me, I mean, even with the area of my father relationships and other relationships, people who have gone on, they may not go to our church. At first, when people start leaving our church, you know, they move on. I took it personal. I said, I'm not a good pastor. What's wrong? I want anybody to stay. But then I began to realize I'm talking about purpose. People are walking in their purpose. So many of them have moved on. They're moving on in their purpose. Maybe God wants to move somewhere else, go to another church, be a part. We have people in our church today, that I've talked with them, that now lead the prayer meetings and the prayer groups of some of the largest churches in America. And they were leaders and active in our church here, and they're prayer leaders. But they're doing it at other churches. Now, they're led of God. I can be mad at them. Now, they didn't go there specifically to do that. They moved to that city or that state, and they found themselves in leadership. And they would tell me, that the pastor talked to them, where you learn how to pray like that? Where you learn that from? And I believe what God is doing is what we've been talking about and preaching, bringing the word of God to the nations and birthing visions and dreams. And so, to me, it requires some changes. And sometimes changes that may not be as obviously comfortable, but God always sent people who continue to do that. And so the lesson there on the people need love, they need to keep growing, they need to be affirmed, need to be appreciated. That was a big one for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, probably one of the biggest responsibilities of the pastor is to, you know, compelling people to change. And so you've seen people's lives progress over a long period of time. And so maybe what I'm asking is, like, what have you observed in people you've been pastoring that has worked for them in their progress that people should take note of that you would see uniquely and they wouldn't see because you're the pastor? So people over time, or just strategies they've used to kind of, you know, we'll be talking later this month about, you know, content creators and the advice they ask, the advice they offer with respect to living their best life. Well, what does it mean for someone who's committed to Jesus over a long time in a church? Like, can you provide some examples of people who've lived their best life, but done it committing to Jesus and committing to the local church?
Yeah. I can think of a number of them. One in particular, I was sent a podcast last week from one of our pastors who now is in Texas. And he did a podcast on one of our former members. And she was very involved in our church, working in the children's ministry, back and working in the nursery. And at that time, I didn't know she was a manager for Boeing. But she helped us on our strategy. We had just moved here and to this location, and we're looking at a need to start hiring full-time people in leadership for children ministry. And so she helped, she volunteered. I'm a strategist, I can help you on that. Well, what I began to find out, she kept referencing this church. Now, I didn't even know she did it, but she kept referencing this church. She just retired after 40 years and at the C-suite, which is the top executive suite of either she wasn't a president, probably a senior vice president, executive vice president, these chief officers kind of thing, level. And so she's talked about her faith, the teaching on the walking with God and following your dreams and what God put in your heart and excellence. And it was just powerful, powerful. And she came from out of foster care system. Her father was killed, her brother was killed, and she kind of worked around all these foster care institutions and homes. And what happened was that she had a sister praying for her. And she said she was good with numbers. And she began to do well and go to engineering school and so forth. But she credited a lot of her encouragement was this church. So I share that is that It doesn't take a rocket scientist. You don't have to be go to Bible college or seminary. I'm not knocking that at all. But if you just get a hold of some core Christian values and work it, then the other piece you need, you realize it and you bring that in. Jesus talked to people who weren't college graduates. I mean, they were simple people. They lived off the agrarian culture, no technology. I mean, they probably didn't have any sewage system in their houses, no running water, no faucets. And yet, they were able to thrive when they got a hold of it.
So what does that mean, practically speaking? So maybe what I'm getting at is, you know, what, like if when you're looking at the spiritual haves and have-nots, people who've, in over your time pastoring, and people who have been able to thrive in, and I don't just mean like materially, but I just mean like they, like again, there's a statement in the world called living your best life.
Yeah.
And there are people who commit to church and have that. And there are people who don't do that. And, you know, what are they doing specifically that they're, what are they tapping into in a church setting that is allowing them to thrive, even in a time that we're in today where so much is going on? Like, what is it, what are they doing?
While you're talking, I thought about this. They commit to church, and their commitment to God is not the same level or higher.
It's like a
man or a woman. I commit to marriage, but not really commit to my spouse at the same level or higher.
Yeah.
And it becomes a like a fraternity. Church can become such a nice place to meet your friends, have dinner and lunch afterwards, and high-five and worship together. It's a spiritual and emotional uplifting experience at church. I get it, and it should be that way. But what happens is that people too often leave it there and don't go deep enough and draw. The Bible says, draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. Mm. When you hear statements about God, seem like I can't hear from Him, He's too far away, are you drawing close to God, or only coming to Him when you're in crisis? Okay, nobody... You don't want your wife, you know, normally it's a guy thing. You want your wife having sex with you only when she really needs it. Well, I need it too. Maybe a little more than you, okay? And so that's too often how we do life. And so it's really realizing that God is a person. Mm. He cares. He really wants the relationship. And more importantly, He has a plan for mankind. And He happens to know that the world we're living in is not favorable toward us. Mm. And for us to minimize the bumps and the heartaches and the problems in this life, we got to follow a plan that's going to get us to the right place. Mm. And that's the Word. That's God's way. And we may not always get it exactly right. I mean, it's like people get degrees and they don't get straight A's. They may have to be a C+. And still, they do well. Okay? They learn on the job and improve and practice more and boom, boom, boom. So, I'm not discounting, you know, going for straight A's and all that. My point is that God didn't make it hard. Didn't make it hard. And so the difference is people sometimes are not continuing to draw close to God, and they're distracted. It's like Jesus talked about the sower, so is the word, the cares of the world. It doesn't mean like, you know, you're worldly, just that you're pursuing what the world offers you. I mean, sometimes people just travel a lot, you know, okay, great. Are you going to church? Now they can do it online more effectively now. But for years, I would wonder about people that they're hardly ever there. And they just like to, I'm over here, I'm over there. They're enjoying this wonderful life. But I'm thinking, I trust you're getting a hold of God, and God's getting a hold of you, you know. And so, because He says, don't forsake the assembly yourselves together. And there's a purpose beyond for that. And part of it is a community to reinforce your values and also to share what you have to offer. You've been talking about it recently about discipleship with others, not just about what I can get out of it, what I can give.
You know, this is an interesting thought that you're sharing, because I think it's counterintuitive to some people. Like, they're thinking, well, aren't I drawing close to God when I come to church? I mean, what isn't that what I'm doing? I have my own thoughts about it, but like, what would you say to that, to that person who's saying, like, why isn't drawing close to church comparable to drawing, why isn't that the same thing?
I go back to the marriage relationship. would the husband or wife, the husband want the wife, or the husband would the wife want the husband to say, look, I bring you a check. What else do you want? I want a relationship. I want conversation. I want love. I want consideration. I want time with you. I want to laugh with you. And, you know, I got things to do. You know, I came home at night, bring the check. You have nothing to worry about. All the bills are paid. That's a cold heart. Now, that's extreme, obviously. But likewise, there's a song, one of my more favorite songs by Larnell Harris, I Miss My Time With You. Mm. You know, we're out there doing the work of God, and God said, you're doing, trying to work, help me, but I miss my time with you. And if we don't see God as a person, that is not that he's this needy, he missed his time with us, because with that time with you, you get more wisdom and get more help, because it's, you learn from me and I do more for you because we're intimate together. The Bible says God is married to the backslider. He's committed to us. But if we keep running, keep avoiding him, you know, think it's, you know, because it's attractive out in the world, and the world is good at painting the picture. And so that's why it's a challenge, it's a tug, because it's attractive. Moses says, I talk about commitment, I'd rather suffer the affliction of a righteous man than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while. Guess what? Sin has pleasures, okay? So part of it is denying yourself. And that's the Christian walk we need to talk about more, just self-denial to move on. But athletes do it all the time, Joshua. Do it all the time. Olympics, they all do it. Even go to college and rise up in the company. We're working all night and all kind of, you know, get the stuff done for stuff we want. Why not for God and spend time with him? And just do it on a routine basis and do it 20 hours a day. Just, okay, give God, maybe start out with half an hour a day.
It's funny you mention that, because you're right. I mean, if you know, we're, you know, looking at professional sports, you see the people that you like, LeBron James, and he spends $1 million on his body a year.
Wow.
To maintain top tip shape, and there's things he sacrifices. Tom Brady, right? He to be able to continue to play football at that level, there's certain things he eat and doesn't eat, and there's this regimen. And so no one says that's going too far.
No.
No one says that's just going way too far. Or people who, you know, they go to want to be a doctor and they're staying up to the wee hours of the night and doing whatever they're doing, and no one says that's going too far. Because, but for whatever reason, the things you describe about God, about we're just disciplining ourselves, I feel like I hear people saying that that's too much. Like, you know, as one, I think I've mentioned it maybe at our last table talk, you know, I was talking to a guy about, you know, drawing closer to God and stuff. He's like, well, what if you just want to be a sheep? You just want to graze, feed, you don't want to go deep. You just want to, you know, talk to me about people you've encountered like that. And then tell me the moment for some of them where the light, what was the thing that changed for them that moved them from just, I'm going to just be a sheep, I'm going to come every week, to I'm trying to draw closer to God. What was the thing?
Well, we've seen it over the years in our church. If they just be consistent enough and get connected a little more deeper in serving in particular, if they're just a bench warmer or a chair warmer and they leave, may say hi to a few people, and they're out the door, don't connect on any deeper level, they won't get it. They're just a basic sheep. You know, I mean, they're just there. But when they start hearing people talk, they start seeing change in their lives. They start saying, this is real, and I want more of that. They start hearing people pray or testimonies. We overcome by the word of their testimonies. So people, when they start getting a little deeper, they go beyond the shallowness of just the large gathering. They go deeper in relationships, get to know people, may have dinner with them over someone's house, and they start sharing. They come together, there's emergency prayer, and they see God come through. I mean, that's why I coined the phrase battle ready. Because they start texting and they send it out to 70, 80 people and they're praying and boom. I mean, it's been many of them like that because they had a community to connect with, and those people become believers in prayer, if nothing else, to tap into that battle ready community.
You know, I think community is the word. I know we talked about service last month in terms of people serving in the church, but I also, I do watch people, and there are some people, they're in a big church, but they're isolated. They come and there's no intentionality in fostering relationships, and they just, you just see them in a rut. So, I notice people who maybe I've seen for years, they come to church regularly, and they're in the same place in their lives. Nothing's changed, and those are the people that some non-church people point to, say, see, they go to that church, nothing's changed. They keep coming, but you don't see a breakthrough. It's just the same kind of stuff.
They don't go deep in the community. I would say I know a man in our church. He's a good guy, done well in his life, but he ran into a major problem in his family. And when I finally talked to him about it, he was humbled. Guy got exposed and he had to deal with some stuff. And he said, Bishop, I have friends in the church and I got friends outside the church. Those groups never meet. He had this secret life and he got busted. Mm. And a good guy. And even today, when I asked him about connecting, he's hesitant. He probably has his reasons. Mm. But as long as he got two or three circles out there that never meet, why? Why? What are you hiding? What are you afraid of? See, men don't deal with fear publicly well because we're not supposed to be afraid, right? Mm. But that's the problem. We have fears too. And only God, walking with God and in the community of God with godly people, can help you, that would love you, pray for you, support you, encourage you. We've had men in our church over the years, in a life group, for example, when the guy, the wife called, I think he's cheating on me again. He went to a certain city. One of the brothers got on a plane and went to that hotel or that lady's house and busted him and said, man, you need to come with me.
Wow.
He was powerful. And so he came. Because he got busted, but also he realized they cared enough for me. Mm. And the wife really wanted to have him do that. She wanted her husband, but he got to do right. Mm. And they reconciled. Another guy was going to kill his wife. Talked about it in a life group. They handled that. It was powerful. Helped him, talk him off the ledge. Got him some help. See, it's not just a Bible study. It's relationships. Mm. And I was talking to someone recently, just this week, somebody they know in the church, just send them a nice check. And it was right on time. Mm. Because they obeyed God, and God said, give me $500, whatever the amount was. And wow, who does that but someone that's sensitive to God and in relationship to even know your name and know how to get it to you? So these are the things that people miss out on and they don't see from the outside. Mm. And that's the challenge. But it really goes back, and I would like to say this, Dr. Josh, is God is so merciful. If they'll just be willing to take a step and step even slower to God, God will honor that. I mean, he's not making it difficult. Sometimes I come across, I'm sure, to people that is very regimented and, difficult, and I require all that. Yeah, that some are really in. I mean, they're all in. And they're at high level of commitment. But you can start where you are. You can start where you are. And God will honor it. It's a walk with God. And he sees your heart. He sees your concerns. He sees your background. He got the context better than anybody else. Mm. He can work with you if we just start walking with God and then continue. The key is continuing. It's not start and stop. You're not connected or bounce around. One reason why I don't recommend people bounce around from church to church, you look at Revelation, there was an angel assigned to each church. Mm. Okay? There's a word for each church. What God is saying to the church at, say, LA. Mm. Or the work. And so God is sensitive to the people in a church community and what they need at that point in time. And to be out of sync, you just like to have fun and be free and all that, and you miss it. Not you can't visit other churches. I do that, no problem. But if it's a pattern and you don't stay connected, you're missing what God had for you.
Okay, so just taking in what you said, so like, first of all, I like the first thing you said about like people need to commit to God at the same level or higher than they commit to church. And then we talked about how that high level commitment to God is also tied to our relationships with people, like those, they intersect.
Yeah.
And if we miss that connection, we're missing a key part of what God is giving us. And then you just talk about this aspect of walking with God. And I know, you know, that's a statement people hear. What is that? I mean, I have my own thoughts about it, but just to ask the obvious, like, what does that mean? What does it mean to walk with God?
Well, it's living a life sensitive to God to interrupt, to speak. He can speak at any time. For God to nudge on you. For God to redirect. For God to just intervene and be a part of your life more at various times. He's there. He doesn't want to leave us nor forsake us, but he may speak up. He may get more involved. He may arrange circumstances. And sometimes things happen and you say, what's going on, God? I mean, you know, and then he's there, but walking with him says, okay, I need to take time to pray about it. For example, I was asked by a pastor just yesterday to do something for him and honor him in a certain way where he's getting ordained to be a bishop. And he asked me to pray about it. And I was considering doing it anyway, but he said it three times. And so we just pray about it. Bishop, I said, no problem. You know, I'm predisposed, but I want to pray about it. To me, that's walking with God. I defer, okay, because I have a relationship. I want to do it, but is that what I should do? Okay, and it's kind of like putting it on the plate. It's kind of like, you know, actually God, the Spirit of God had showed Abraham that if he killed his son, if he had to kill his son, he'll be raised from the dead. That's in Hebrews. He had a vision, an image, that he'd be raised. So he was doing it by faith, but he's trusting God. If I had to go all the way through, he'll be alive again. You show me that. Well, he walked with God. See, it's one of the challenges, we don't get the visions and the insight of where God's taking us and how it's going to end because we're not walking with God close enough and really open to him. And part of it is the scriptures. The scriptures address so many practical areas of life. And if we take time enough, eventually we get to a passage that, wow, I don't know what I was in there. I needed that. I needed that 5 years ago, but I'm really using it now. And that's how we move forward, walk with God. So it's a dual prayer, listening, what the Holy Spirit speaking to us about, but also allowing the Word of God to illuminate. And I believe there's such a demonic attack, not that people are demonic, but I don't read the Bible and all that, but it's Satan's attack to talk to their minds that discount the Bible. It's just a rule book and all that. That is from the pit of hell because there's so much good in there, and practical insight and wisdom. That can help us live a wonderful life. So, walking with God need not be difficult. Anything else, if it is difficult and challenging, it's legalism. Just flow. God knows where you are. If you're a toddler, you do it as a toddler pace. You're in junior high, high school, whatever, college level, whatever. But because much is given, much is required. So as we grow, God expects more.
You know, I think the concept of walking also speaks to pace, too. Mm. So, you know, we sort of going at his pace, and like if you run with somebody, you're going at a comparable pace, you're walking at a comparable pace, instead of the kind of direction that we would prefer, and it speaks to just deferring.
There you go.
You know, deferring to, you know, what God would have us do. I was looking at our time here, so that's good. I really wanted to dig deep into, I mean, we're living at a time, we talked last week about the kind of issues we're experiencing in the world, and I wanted this to be about like how can we practically engage in church to make it fruitful, because there are people who are saying today that what has the church ever done for you, and they've done this, and how are they helping with that, this or that, And just being reminded of staying true to the things that God has offered us to grow. So we talked about, like, we got to commit to God as much or more, really more than we commit to church itself. That as we commit to God in the church, that that's inherently tied to relationships we have with people. And that we need to learn to walk with God, which means that we defer to Him on so many of our decisions. Talk to me. Give me a really good example of someone that you think has done that well in your years of pastoring, and kind of how their lives would change from committing. How their lives changed from committing to those three things.
Well, there are a lot of people like that. One good example. We have a prayer meeting gathering, started with leaders, and anybody comes at 5 o'clock on Thursday morning. And there's one lady, in fact, it's Gabriella Ruiz. We pray for the leaders of our country, and then we open up a prayer request, and we have prayer reports before it's half an hour. Just about every single prayer request that Gabriella gives, and they're hard cases, by the way. And oftentimes, they're unbelievers in Mexico, family, serious problems. God comes through. And she's very successful, but she's a hostess in our church. She leads prayer. She don't have to do that. I mean, she got resources. She can do what she wants, but she loves God. And her daughter, I was there when her daughter graduated from medical school. Mom and I went out to celebrate with her. And it was hard for her daughter, hard for her as a single mom. But she God has proven herself, and she's a woman of prayer. She comes late night, all night prayer when we have it. All that and it's not like it's works in salvation. No, she loves the Lord and has proven her that God is good. And so many people that we can speak to. In most recent, this pandemic in particular, God has come through. I can't speak to why people may have died or have problems. I don't know enough details what happened. Sometimes we pray and it doesn't work. But I always point to the ones where it came through. And if we love God in spite of, you know, we'll know when we meet him one day. We can ask him then. But I would never talk bad about God. In my mind, God, you've done so much for me already. If you did nothing else, I'll still serve you.
I have to affirm you with respect to Gabriella. In fact, we featured her in one of our promos, but she's definitely one who has just been consistent in all the ways we talked about. And as I look at other people that I've even observed just being in church, of people who have the staying power as a believer, you go back and you look at their track record with the Lord. I mean, they take God seriously.
Come on.
I mean, they take God seriously, and they just commit and they let God do His thing. So many people... they stop when their immediate expectation isn't fulfilled, and they don't go the distance. They don't let prayer do its work or what have you. But you're absolutely right with respect to people who've committed like that. And I just want to just invite those of you who are listening here. Look, you know, we're going to be returning back to church in a few weeks, and people are making yes, we should definitely celebrate that. People are making decisions about their lives, because the world has changed, and they're questioning things, institutions. They're questioning things that they've been a part of for a long time and saying, should I continue to do that? And for some people, it's God Himself. For some people, it's church. For some people, it's just the way I think about myself in terms of as a person of faith. Should I continue with this? And the answer to this is, look, God's been doing His thing for a long time. The church, I don't mean this local church. I mean the church itself has been along for a long time. It's not going anywhere. The church has been through all kinds of things and has endured.
Yeah.
So it would behoove you to root yourself in something that has staying power, that is proving staying power. So much of what is happening today in our society is experimentation.
Come on.
And nobody knows the long-term effect of some of the really outrageous and crazy things people are doing these days, but they're just experimenting. We need to stay connected to the thing that has staying power. And I'm going to review again. Number one, it is to commit to God. at a level higher or higher than church itself. Church is important, and we serve God through our church, but we need to make sure our actual relationship with God is high. Number two, we need to make sure that our relationships with people in the church are strong. We shouldn't just come to church and go home. So much of what's going to nourish us are those relationships with people, and that may require us to get over some hangups to do that. And then thirdly, we need to continue to walk with God. That means as we make decisions about our lives, and there's a lot we got to make these days, we need to defer to Him. It's like, did we talk to the boss? Did we talk to Jesus about that? Or are we just making choices because we're reacting, as we said last week, to all the things that are going on in our society? So we encourage you with that. But if you're sitting there and your relationship with God is fractured or non-existent, we want to invite you. Really, we just want to bring attention to what God has already invited you to do. You know, the scripture says that wisdom cries out in the streets. And it's screaming at you. But so many people reject wisdom. God has created this whole world to get your attention. The scripture says that when we look at creation, we are without excuse if we reject God. But God has made it even more plain by giving us scripture and sending Jesus to tell us that not only is He real, but He has a plan for us, but He's come here to establish His kingdom. And in that kingdom, we can live a life that's different than the life we're seeing around us. So if you have a fractured relationship with God, or your relationship with God is non-existent, or you need to restore your relationship with God, I want to invite you to pray with me for that. Repeat after me. Dear God, I come to You. I know that I need to turn to You and turn away from the way I've been living, from the way I've been thinking, from the way I've been acting. So I turn to You right now. I submit to Jesus. I call Him now my Lord. I know and I believe that He died on the cross for my sin, that He shed His blood, that He was resurrected, and in that resurrection, He gave me the power to live a righteous life. Fill me, Lord, with Your Holy Spirit, that I may live a righteous life and receive the power that will allow me to be victorious spiritually in this life. Thank You, God, for Your salvation. Thank You, God, for Your intervention in my life. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, or maybe you're praying it for the first time and meant it, or maybe this is just you restoring your relationship with the Lord, we would like you to text Zoe Saved to the number on your screen. That will give us an opportunity to get in connection with you, to connect with you with other people who have been down the journey you've been going, and other people who are drawing close to Jesus like you, and can be an example for you as you draw closer to God. So we just thank you to everyone this Sunday for joining us. We have a couple more weeks left after this, and then we'll be reopening on July 4th. We're really looking forward to that. But in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week. Father's Day.